Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone? You okay?
Holy crap.
Woo. You right there, my man?
Yeah, just dying. Oh, man.
What's going on, everyone? And welcome to the Reformatory.
Dying.
The podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man who loves to introduce himself in
about
many
die,
different
people.
Ways.
About to die.
The honorable, the hacking up a lung, Jack Barry.
Sweet Moses, dude.
You all right there, partner?
Dude, one sip of Olipop. I was about to die right there, dude.
That'll do it.
Sweet Lord.
That will do it. Okay. It's good to see you, Captain. We are back from a week of you being
migraines,
you being sick, you being down.
I hate it, dude. I hate migraines,
dude. Yeah, it was a bad week for you last week.
Yeah,
very eventful.
It started out. I mean, it sucks when at the ending of your Lord's Day service, you know you're like, it's like, yep, I'm getting a migraine.
You feel
and that's all, and then it's all downhill from there, dude.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, it's the worst. Yeah. I used to get migraines all the time in high school. I don't know why. I have not had one. I haven't had one for a hot minute. But do you get the thing like where, you know how, okay, the best way I can describe it is this. You know when you're driving on the road and it's a hot day and you look like on the road in front of
the
you.
The mirage.
And it gets that like almost like.
Yeah,
pixely, so like blurriness to it. I get that in the corner of my eye.
Yep.
And I knew when I got that, I had about T minus 40 minutes before I was down for the count.
Yeah. It's basically an aurora,
yeah,
what they call it. And it's like a string. It looks like a string of diamonds in my eye. It starts off with a little small little circle, string of diamonds. And I can usually tell something's going on because my vision starts to get distorted. So I was like looking up at one of my pastors and I'm like, oh, crap, something's not looking right there. And then next thing you know, it's like, yep, I'm getting it right now.
Yep.
And that's when the aurora happens. And usually after the aurora, really piercing, like just headache from the depths of Hades, dude. Just like, I hate it.
Right.
It's gnarly. And then usually sometimes I've been fasting, so there hasn't been enough stuff in my system for my body to really like want me to like vomit everything out. But usually the pain's really bad to it gets to the point where like my body's like, yeah, eject everything out of your system right now.
Right.
So
oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible. So only one has happened. So we're hoping that only one stands, but usually when a season changes, it's usually about a week of like scattered migraines. But right now we're running off of one, Let's pray that only one happens this season and then go from there. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, before we hop into our topic today, why don't you give us this week's reformatory cigar of the week? What do you got for us, my man?
Okay, so we are continuing back again with November's for Nat Seco. I think I talked last time about the HHB cigar. And this time I'm going to talk about one of the cigars that was rated number 18 in the number 25 top 25 cigars of 2018. So Nat Seco put out an Anniversario. It's called the Nat Seco Anniversario 1965 Liga number 4 Churchill. Mouthful. It is the number 18 ranking cigar, top 25 cigars of 2018. It was rated a 92 out of 100 by Cigar Aficionado at the time. It's basically a Nicaraguan Puro with an Ecuadorian wrapper. That's about as easy as I can put it. Basically, every filler binder are both Nicaraguan, and then the wrapper is Ecuadorian. This cigar, so it's Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, excuse me, is in a Churchill Vitola sizing. Nat Seco, I don't think anybody, I think I talked about this briefly. Nat Seco got famous for basically taking all of their rejects. So they're the first company that started doing that, is taking all their cigars that weren't quote unquote up to par and basically selling them by the bunch as rejects. And having people smoke them that way. So, but I have smoked this. Josh and I have been talking about cigar subscriptions. This is one of the first cigars by Nat Seco that I smoked in Stogie Bird. The cigar subscription called Stogie Bird. And it is smooth. It is dangerous.
Yeah.
It is very... It starts off pretty earthy in the beginning, and then it just starts to develop the smoothness, especially on the second and third thirds of the cigar. That's like, this is incredible. So really good, kind of like I would say this is almost like an after dinner cigar. This is not like this is not a cigar you want at the beginning of the day. This is something to kind of enjoy towards the end of the day. So, Josh, as always, I have to query you, sir, on what you think the MSRP is on this bad boy.
I'm going $11.75.
It ranges anywhere between $11 and $13. So you're right in the range. Right. So I'll call that. I'll call that a win for Josh. Anyway, that is the Nat Seco Anniversario 1965 Liga number 4 Churchill. Yeah. There you go, people.
Well, well done, Jack. As always, bring in nothing but the best for our people at the Reformatory Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the cigar of the week for the Reformatory. And you know what to do, my friends. You go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So we've got an interesting topic to discuss today. It's one of those topics that I never imagined I would have to talk about.
Yeah.
Because of the sheer idiotic nature of the situations that bring this topic up. Okay, but we're talking about basically the sin of partiality, somewhat. I would say a broader scope. The understanding and the truth that the greatest bond believers will share this side of heaven is not the bonds of friendship, not the bonds of family, but the bond that comes from the unity we have in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, again, as all good debates and it seems like controversies do, it starts over on the Twitters. And that there is a subsection of quote unquote reformdom over there. Again, Twitter's not a real place, and these dudes aren't actually reformed.
Yeah.
Of folks that are taking the Christian nationalism to the nth, I think, degree, and claiming that the primary responsibility or the primary relationship that Christians have is to those that are the same as them.
Yeah.
And they'll define that as family, and then they will go to those in your country. And some take it even farther and say primarily to those of your own skin color.
Yeah.
This is real conversations that's happening right now between many people online.
The Anon Army.
The Anon Army, dude. Bolstered by their fearless leaders, Joel Webbin,
oh my gosh,
Brian Suve or Suave, and Eric Kahn, and men of their like, their ilk, I should say.
Sure.
And yeah, it is a very strange subset of, again, quote unquote reformedom, because I don't think these guys actually really understand what being truly reformed means in terms of the doctrine and the historical context and everything that comes into it. So there's a lot to talk about here, and the reason I think this is good to bring this up is because it's important as Christians, even though this argument is primarily online and doesn't really affect those that aren't in that sphere or aren't aware of it, which is a good thing. It is something that the local church deals with, and it is something that we should have an understanding and have an answer for when it comes to basically how do we view relationships with other Christians, right? Whether that those Christians are Christians of your same ethnicity, of your same heritage, of your same country. How do we look at the relationships we have with Christians in other countries? How does that, you know, go in and out of the relationships we have with family? So we're going to talk about all of that. But I want to ask you first, before I get into some of the verses and points that I have, were you seeing this drama unfold just like I was, and kind of rolling your eyes at it?
I think I've seen it for the last couple years, even more so probably within the last, probably since about 2000. I mean, I feel like ever since Trump won the first presidency back in 2016, it started to embolden some people in not the correct direction of discourse in talking about stuff like this. And, you know, free speech is all good until, you know, knuckleheads start, you know, saying stuff that they have zero clue what they're talking about.
Which is a consequence of free speech. You're going to have stupid people that have the freedom to speak.
Yeah, very true. But also it's like you also have the freedom to in a free and fair debate to kind of go back and forth and not one person necessarily be jailed over this versus another. But I will say this. I think as Christian nationalism has arisen to its utmost being, I think you're going to see this more and more, to where people are going to start equating. And I mean, this is the danger we have seen in church history, to where you co-opt the church and the state together. And then you start making decisions. You start getting a Christianity that will not produce and not stand up for gospel doctrine. You will have a Christianity that says, if you oppose the authorities and those there unlike them, you will be burned at the stake. Like, we're already seeing this, to where Joel Webbin saying that he would openly stone people in the streets. Just like some crazy stuff, man. And I think it gets to the point to where it almost puts us back in a place where we're starting to have these, how can I say this in a very respectful manner, these kind of like drudged up conversations about who is my neighbor again, who technically am I closest to in the gospel. And it's just like, these have already been settled. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get why we're going back to these other than people want to take their partiality, call it kinism, call it white supremacy, call it anything. And they want to bring it back into the spotlight and make it a mainstay, because I think when you have some rhetoric that's going on like we do in the United States, to where we're talking about, you know, you want to make this country a pure country, so to say, and people start co-opting that with Christianity. We saw what happened. And I mean, this is your argument as well, too, that they're making, that somehow, you know, the conversations behind the Holocaust are not actually the correct ones to have.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, you're starting to wade into like Holocaust denial. You know, you're starting to wade into waters that it's like, okay, this is absolutely bananas. Yep. That we're getting to a point where your partiality is going so far to where you're starting to get into a territory of conspiracy theory becoming revisionist history and stuff like that.
Yep.
When you're not focusing back on and majoring on the majors, which is the gospel.
Yeah.
And yep. I think that's the problem that Josh and I are seeing, is that the guys that are talking about this are not majoring on the gospel. And we've seen even our friends call them out and they be very defensive about it, because we have friends that are in different states that have a majority different religion other than Christianity. And, we have seen those friends call out these certain men that we just mentioned, and they become defensive. Like, how dare you say I'm not a defender of the faith?
Right.
Typically, you know, but it's true. Like, if all you're doing is talking about politics, if all you're doing is talking about how our country is going to be made great again through politicians, and you're not doing the groundwork that the Lord Jesus called us to, which is the Great Commission, which is preaching the gospel through your local church, making disciples through your local church, it makes you look like, how do I say this, a charlatan, a grifter? Because all you're doing is grifting ideas to get more people on your side, to give you more money, to make more of your cause that really isn't focused on the majors of what Jesus was talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
So... Yeah, I think that's the bare bones basics of what Josh and I are seeing, and we're, it's starting to grind our gears here, people.
Well, so. it's a bunch of really bad arguments that people are making, and then when real critiques come out and truths are stated that have been accepted by the church for forever, right? Those truths are then twisted and turned into things that they don't mean. For example, that statement that I made at the top of the ep, that the unity, the strength of the relationship, whatever word you want to call it there, right? What we have in Christ is greater than what we have in blood. And by blood, I mean earthly family, right? When take perhaps the strongest earthly relationship that exists between a man and a woman in marriage. Right. When we enter into heaven, when Christ makes all things new, marriage doesn't exist. The strongest earthly relationship that exists will be abolished in heaven because it has ceased. Like, the purpose of it has ceased. Right. The blood of Christ and the bonds of unity that we share in Christ is the only relationship that has eternal lasting effect.
Yeah.
It's the only one, right? Yeah. That truth has been accepted since Christianity began.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you have some gentlemen online that think they have discovered something new. And there's no new truths, there's just old heresies.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put forth this idea that, well, that, like, the relationship I have with my earthly family supersedes that that I have with believers. And then it, and then above my, you know, but right below my family is the relationship I have with my kinsmen in my country. And then the Christian, and then the Christians in other countries fall under that. And they use horrible arguments, horrible arguments to describe that, that kind of understanding. Right. Stephen Wolfe, for one, he says, I love my kids more than your kids, not only because of grace, but because grace does not destroy nature. Bad faith argument. That's not at all what we're saying.
What does that even mean?
Okay. Joel Webbin says this. He says, I feed my children every day, even my younger unregenerate children, knowing that I could give that money to Christians without food in foreign countries. And believe it or not, every Christian father I know here in America does the same thing. What are you talking about? It's kind of bad faith arguments, straw man arguments, where they're taking, they're creating a straw man argument, a horrible example to try to prove their point. And it's just proving, one, either they're not listening, they don't understand truly what is being said, or two, they do and they're trying to deceive people. Yeah. Either way, they shouldn't have the following that they do. Okay.
Sure.
Now, 1 Timothy 5:8 is a real verse that we have to understand as Christians, that if a man does not provide for his family, especially those in the household of faith, he is worse than an unbeliever. Nothing that we are saying negates that.
Yeah.
You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to take care of those that God has placed under you. Okay? But multiple things can be true at once. And this is what these guys do not seem to have either the capacity or the desire to grasp.
Yeah.
Is that you can, on one hand, be tasked by God to take care of those that he has placed in front of you. Absolutely true, right? We know that's true. While at the same time understanding that the earthly relationship you have with those people is not the strongest relationship that you have. It's not the it's not the deepest relationship that you have.
Yeah.
Right? Let me put it in terms of this. My closest, strongest earthly relationship that I have is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Before she is my wife, she is my sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the unity that we share in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She's not my wife first, and then my sister in Christ second. She is my sister in Christ first,
mm-hmm.
that the Lord has given to me as a wife.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and father are my mother and father second. They are my brother and sister in Christ first. Because when we become Christians and we become regenerate, we view things differently. It changes the way we view relationships. It changes what we know to be true, right? Let's go to Galatians. Let me pull it up here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, right? It says, now there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Let's start at verse 10. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. These guys do not seem to understand or have the capacity to understand that multiple things can be true. Just because I am saying that the bond that I share with Christians in other countries, I believe that is stronger than any familiar bond that I have. That does not negate my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Or my calling to take care of my wife, or to take care of those that are in my family. You can have both, and both are true.
Yeah.
And dude, like the amount of people, the amount of people that are coming out of the woodwork and using this as an opportunity to promote the Christian national idea of loyalty to one's nation and things like, dude, it's just sickening.
Yeah.
It's sickening. And honestly, look, again, it's an over, I understand that, like, because of through COVID and the whole like woke stuff, like the problem that you have with that is that real racism and real stuff, like actually real stuff, mm-hmm. gets just kind of thrown in with everything else that's just crap and not true, right?
Yeah.
I've seen some legitimately the biblical definition, the biblical, not the society, cultural definition of racism, the biblical definition of racism being said to my brothers and my sisters of different skin color because mm-hmm. of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like partiality being given to Christians of your same skin color. That is racist. That is racism. I believe that is what biblical racism is. It's the sin of partiality based on that person's, their skin color or where they come from, right? It's not saying something mean to them. Like, again, I don't hold to the cultural definition of racism. But, dude, this stuff is crazy. I want to play a clip. One crazy thing that has come out of this whole thing.
This was not on our bingo card, people.
Dude, is me like James White has been savage on Twitter. Okay. Now, James White says a lot of things that I don't agree with.
I think that we both don't agree with.
Yeah.
He
can be kind of a
curmudgeon.
A curmudgeon. Yes.
Yeah.
But James White going after these youngsters, these idiots, dude, has been gold to watch. And I want to play one thing that a guy on Twitter, his name is, he just goes by Chris. It's K-Dub True on Twitter.
Yeah.
He shares a lot of fun stuff. He's an Afro-American guy on Twitter. That shares some pretty funny stuff. And he shared this. I don't know if he edited it together, but it's this little clip from James White's Dividing Line podcast that he does. And I shared it. And upon sharing, well, I'll play it first, and then I'll tell you kind of what happened afterward. Let's see. All right, Jack, can you see this here?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Samuel Say, Kofi, these folks who don't have to worry about the sun nearly as much as I do. I just simply look at them as my brothers in Christ. And if you can't understand that the imputed righteousness of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit makes someone much more close to you than any amount of blood and soil, you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian, you need to hear this and run. Stop playing these games. It will destroy your soul. And you will be judged for any division you bring into any fellowship when you promote this stuff. Am I being clear enough? I hope I'm being clear enough.
Dude, first of all,
I loved that.
shout out to, so people don't know this, but the guy who you mentioned, Kofi, is a pastor up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Kofi's a great dude.
Kofi's awesome. Kofi is a great guy. Kofi is, I think he is of Guyanan descent from Africa. And then he went, his family's...
He's from England, though.
Yeah, but his family is of their...
Ghanan.
Immigrants to the UK.
Yeah.
And then from the UK, he came over here to the States. And I think so is Samuel Say as well, too. But he's... he went from Ghana, his family went from Ghana, I think, to Canada as well, too. And then they came down here. But it's the same thing, dude. Like people are coming after Kofi because they want to deport him. Like, it's the same ilk of people.
Dude, I literally saw that. I saw it like, dude, you know what happened? Because I saw that clip of James White and I shared it. And I was like, this is a real thing. Mm-hmm. We need to understand. The blood of Jesus Christ transcends familial bonds. It transcends soil. It transcends everything earthly because everything earthly is going to burn. Mm-hmm. The unity of Christ The blood of Christ is the only thing that will last into eternity. That is our primary. That is our primary relationship. That is how we should view people primarily, is through the blood of Christ. Doesn't mean that you disregard all other factors, but primarily it is through the blood of Christ. The Anon army comes out of the woodwork.
Gosh. Oh,
they have the most blatant middle school tactics, my friend. Like, if you're best, here's the thing, guys. I've been in ministry a while. I've been in the blue collar world for a while, right? I grew up kind of, you know, working in that too. It's, you got to come at me with something worse than you're gay and you're fat. I'm just going to say it. If that's all that's in your repertoire, get some new material.
Yeah.
But that just showed, like, that is the intellectual level of the vast majority of guys that follow these dudes on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true.
It's the red screen, blue eyed accounts that just act like children because there's no accountability.
Yep.
They can just hop online and sin.
Well, I mean, they have Anon accounts, dude. So it's like, I'm not going to assume this, but it's like, it starts to get into territory to where you're living a double life.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Lord Jesus, that's not a good thing to do.
No, no, it's not.
Where you can hop on your Twitter account, say the most blatantly partial, kinist, racist things, and then go back to your daily living and be a non-like that.
Go back to church.
Oh, yeah.
Take the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Yeah. That's where I think Anon accounts really have... Like, the Lord's justice be upon you at that point, to be quite honest, because you're not wanting to come under your church's authority, no matter which church that is, mm-hmm. no matter if it's actually, like, you know, particular Baptist, if it's Presbyterian, you don't want to come under that church authority because you're scared because your views may be misconstrued. Well, of course they're misconstrued because you've been led astray.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think this is? Like, and I think honestly, James White's correct. Like, you're heaping wrath upon yourself because you're bringing division into the family of God.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go over very well.
That's what the sin of partiality does, folks. Remember Paul calling Peter out for being partial? Peter reverted back to his roots. He reverted back to his blood. He was showing partiality to his soil, the things that he was once defined as. And Paul said, no, stop it. Stop holding this group of people because you share familial blood with them and you share territory, you know, closeness with them. Stop holding them above these Gentile believers.
Yeah.
Stop it. You are one together. And that's what these guys just don't seem to understand. And when we engage with people in our local church, right, we need to understand that we need to engage with them primarily as Christians. Christians. Okay. Yeah. All right. Not their job, not their upbringing. Not, you know, whatever long list you could give that the world uses to judge people by, primarily, first and foremost, I view them as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And it would be the same. I would treat this the person that I have known for 50 years. Well, I haven't been when I'm that old. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Right. And like James White was saying, the Christian in Ghana or the Christian in China. The bond that I have with them because of Christ is the same. It's the same.
Yeah.
And we have to come back to realize this. Stop being Peter, showing partiality to his family, his soil, his nationality. Mm-hmm. And Paul saying, no, no, we are all the same. There is no Jew or Greek. There's no slave or free. All are one in Jesus Christ. And we have to be able to see that And again, yeah. I can't believe that this is even a thing in 2024.
Yeah,
but it is.
It's very discouraging because it puts to light some things that even my local church has done, to where we were helping an Afghan church get their people out of a refugee camp in Abu Dhabi and get them to safety, to where they could start planting churches or build a church of their own. And so they kind of got scattered in the process, which wasn't helpful, but there's a couple different organizations within the Pacific Northwest that's working together to bring kind of Afghans and also former believers of Islam from Muslim nations together to start being plugged into local churches or even starting churches of their own.
Mm.
And I feel like when there's a guy in my local church who still attends, his wife is a Muslim. He's the only Christian in his family.
Mm.
And him and his family got freed out of Afghanistan, like on the craziest story. Like literally it's like, meet us at this hotel at this time. If you see this guy, come outside, wave a green flag, that bus and go to the airport.
Yeah.
And then the only way that he could get out of the airport is the fact that he knew people that he did these projects with in the airport. And they're like, oh, you're this person. I know you. Yeah, you can go free. Go ahead. Got out of basically being brutally murdered by the Taliban, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do I supersede my relationship with local people in my church for him, or are they on the same playing field? They're on the same playing field, people.
Yeah.
But is it important that he and that we look at and try and get him out of a circumstance and help him and his family out of a circumstance that they're in order that they might become part of, at least him, become part of our local congregation so he can worship the Lord? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're doing that, like, it's the same thing as, like, if Canada decided to, like, brutally repress their people and we knew Canadian Christians, are we going over there to try and get Canadian Christians out of that country? Probably.
Yeah.
If we can do whatever we can in order to get them to safety and flee and be a part of a local church here, by all means, like, we'll do that. Yeah. I don't care, because that's what Jesus does. He creates a new Israel. He doesn't look back to the old Israel. He looks back because he is a new Israel and he's building a new humanity in himself. And that's the mystery of our faith. And when these guys come around and say, oh, well, being an American or my kids or my family, it supersedes those relationships I have with the Afghan Christian or the African Christian or any other Christian. Like, give me a break.
Yeah. And again, it's not that anyone is saying that you should neglect, like, it's like that argument.
Yeah.
Like Joel Webb. I'm still going to, believe it or not, I'm going to feed my kids instead of supporting Christians in other countries. Like,
who told you not to?
Nobody's telling you not to,
what?
Dude.
What are you talking about?
Good. Like, gracious, if, man. That is a dense argument.
If you're thinking in all or not scenarios, that just doesn't happen.
Well, it just shows you, again, you either don't understand what's being said or you do and you're just trying to turn it into some sort of circus. Because, look, nobody, in fact, James White, I guarantee you, would encourage, yes, feed your kids. Scripture tells you to.
Yeah.
But that does not change the truth.
Yeah.
That your primary relationship with your children is not that you are their father. It is that you are their brother in Christ, should they
Very
be regenerate.
True. Very true.
Yeah. That is the point.
That's actually
what we're saying.
That's actually what I pray for when I put my son to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Every
of
night.
Course you do.
Every night I pray that my son, Theo, will become my brother in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just not looked at as his father, but that we have a relationship on the fact that we both have trusted in and believe in the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
For faith, for salvation.
Because, like, that's the relationship that's going to last.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to be his father in heaven.
Yeah.
You're not going to be his father in the new earth.
Yeah.
You're going to be his brother in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There, yeah. In Christ, there is no blood or soil. And the guys that are trying to make it so do not understand the gospel. And yeah. Like James said, very wisely, because I guarantee you he's seen it before, it's going to cause division.
Yeah.
It causes division in churches. It creates hierarchies. It creates lines. It creates cliques. It creates clubs. It creates
partiality.
Apostasy. Yeah.
It creates apostasy.
And it lies about the unity that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It lies about it. So these Brian Suve or Suave and Joel Webbins and Stephen Wolfs and Eric Kant, these guys should not be followed. They have a track record of only bringing division and not unity to the body. And this is just the latest iteration of that. So if you're listening to this and you're hearing us, I encourage you, don't follow these guys, because they're just creating division and partiality where there is none. And they're going to be held accountable for that.
Yeah. And even to like, quote unquote, their own countrymen. Like what we were talking about, we know people in other states that have called these guys out because they don't preach the gospel to the other people in their state, even though they may be Mormon.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you prioritizing at this point? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to, I hate to do this, but it goes back to Acts, where the disciples ask, Lord, are you to restore the kingdom now?
Yeah.
I feel like so many guys are asking that question, and they think they found the answer in Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
But the Lord Jesus says this. It's like, it is not for you to know the times of restoration. This is what you will do. You will go and you will baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples of all nations.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't prioritize the Great Commission, and you only focus on the restoration of your own country, I think you've failed. You've absolutely failed biblically at what it means to be a Christian at that point and what it means to go and make disciples.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if you claim that your main constituency for that should be your country, like if you're saying that that is the calling of every Christian, then we should have no missionaries whatsoever. We should have no Americans taking the word of the Lord to the unreached peoples of the world. Like that's idiot talk.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't understand. And that's where this kind of stuff goes, is it just creates an insular understanding of what Christianity looks like. And you end up with just a bunch of people that look exactly like you, that think everything you think.
Mm-hmm.
That agree with everything that you say. And you know what, Jack? I'm starting to think that that's what these guys want.
Yeah, they want echo chambers.
I think they want to be the leaders of those.
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating, very saddening thing.
They want to be the guys that dole out the execution orders on which Christians should be in jail and stuff like that. And so
don't show partiality, people.
Yeah.
Your brothers and sisters in Christ are unified with you by the blood, the strongest bond that exists, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no family, blood, or soil.
Yeah.
There is Christ. Christ is all in all. He is our unity.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrate that. That's a joyful thing to know that you are unified with people you haven't even met and that you will meet one day.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear the stories of what life was like for them on the other side of the world and the bond that you share. It'll be the greatest family reunion in the world. That's the point. That's what the gospel does.
Yeah. Complete rabbit trail to lighten things up, because this episode's kind of been a little bit on the darker side of things. Okay. I always imagine heaven as being like, somehow I go from tavern to tavern Do you have the? Do you think of heaven
smoke
as
lounge
like
from a smoke lounge?
A string of taverns and smoke lounges where you just like hang out with like Peter one day and just say, "Hey, yeah. What? How did you feel when you just got absolutely mopped with Paul in that little trip to Galatia there, pal?"
Oh man.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I think of heaven as like a series of taverns or like cigar lounges. I don't know why I think that way, but it's like, I mean, oh, I'll just go and meet Paul for a beer one day. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't think there's going to be beer. Maybe there'll be beer in heaven. I don't know. I don't think it'll be the same thing. But
Jack, I can guarantee you whatever you think heaven is, it's going to be so much better.
Probably.
It's going to be so much better.
Probably. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, Jack, why don't you get us out of here, my friend?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's sincerity and seriousness about how our bond in Christ is greater than anything else and how we prioritize that in the local church, you can follow us more on the sociables that we have accounts on, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod. We are at the metaverse, if you will, the Facebook. The Zuck, dude, the Zuck's getting a glow up. You see this guy lately? He doesn't look like an automaton. He looks like a frat boy.
Oh, no. Is he? Is he getting
swole? Well, I don't want to say that. He just looks like a 20-year-old for some reason.
All right.
Anyway. So anyway, you can follow us on the metaverse. You can follow us on the Facebook or the so the metaverse is the Facebook, excuse me. The Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow, or the always interesting sociable formerly known as Twitter X. Find us at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us an episode idea. You can drop us a question about an episode. If you have anything for us, comment, question, concern, you can follow us up there. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us on other endeavors.
That's right. There are multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. You can like and you can review and rate this podcast on Apple and Spotify. We really appreciate that. 5 stars for 5 solas. Write us a little review. That would be really cool. We have a YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel, like, comment, and hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We have shirts now. We sell through Amazon, and it's a link in the description of this episode. You can click on those and get some really, really cool designs. We are uploading some new designs here coming up pretty soon. I got a Christmas shirt that we're going to be uploading for your dude. It's awesome. It's awesome. I have
my opinions about this Christmas shirt, but whatever.
But you, everyone said you were wrong. Jack doesn't like this one. Jack doesn't like it. Everyone else liked it, so we're going to sell it. We're going to sell it. That'll be up here in the next week or so. So be on the lookout for new Christmas merch. We'll drop all that on the socials. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. If you want to get notified of the new merch dropping before anyone else, if you want this episode before anyone else, and if you want bonus episodes that only patrons get, well, you got to head on over to the Patreon. And that's also in the link of this. The link is in the description of this episode. For $5 a month, a $5 holla, you too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge to you, if you do so, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We show no partiality in the Patreon. Everyone that's there is equal. It's pretty great. We like it. We thank you all for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of The Reformatory.